not sure whether many countries are fighting with this hijab or that, you know, or they disagree with the concept of hijab or not. You know, we have in some certain countries that unfortunately, for example, in France, or at least in some parts of that country, or in some European country, and recently, unfortunately, in some other countries, the fighting and say have some disagreement with the concept of hijab. You know, I want to say that, you know, it is not in according to the freedom of thought and freedom of speech. You know, I'm really wondering why these guys, I mean, the politicians are fighting and they have some disagreement with the concept of hijab, while in the same time they have the very, you know, heavy propaganda and a slogan that we are supporting the
freedom
free
wills, yes,
freedom of religions. We have the liberal country. We are, you know, free.
And human rights, of course.
Yeah, and foremost and the beginning, we have the human rights and the freedom of speech, freedom of religions. You know, we have heard a lot of these kind of slogans from some European countries and from some Westerners. On the other hand, we have these fights, let's say, or some disagreement with the concept of hijab. I don't know how can we have these, you know, let's say, you know, double standard with the some of these European or Western countries. On the other hand, that...
So, just to make it very much clear, why they have problem with hijab?
I don't know.
At the first hand.
You know, I cannot understand that. You know, you should ask them because it is not in according to their own standard of thinking. Mm-hmm. It is not in according to their, let's say, propaganda. It is not in accordance to the, you know, human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I want to choose, this is my choice. I want to choose to be a you know, Muslim woman. Or a Muslim man, I want to have this chador, I want to have this hijab, very beautiful styling, you know, the style, as you mentioned in the beginning of your question, styles are different, you know, in some country they have children, you know, this part or this color.
Exactly, colors are different, the coverings are different.
Yeah, colors of different, styles of different, but after all, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two verses of the Noble Quran talks about the concept of hijab is, you know, it is a standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the verse of Noble Quran. You know, and of course, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the verse of Noble Quran is a criterion, but it can manifest itself in different styles and colors and in different cultures, I mean that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that you should ask themselves why they're fighting and they have some disagreements.
Maybe, to some points, it would help the growth of Islam, maybe.
You know that maybe, of course, we have some, you know, assumption, you know, for that. Because if you have your personal religion, I mean, you go to your house and start praying individually,
mm-hmm.
or you may fast, okay?
Yes.
Maybe nobody has any problem with you.
Because it's something personal. Nobody is going to get affected by whatever you're doing.
It is personal. It has nothing to do with the society.
Yes.
And it has no manifestation, you know, beside
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
But in a way that once you want to have this societal manifestation of your religion...
Once you come to practice it in the face
publicly,
of other people,
yeah,
it becomes a problem.
It becomes a problem. And it is exactly... the point that we have it in the, you know, philosophy of Imam Khomeini, okay? If you
yes.
look at the writings and the books of Imam Khomeini, you can find some very interesting ideas about societal aspect of Islam, okay?
Yes.
Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, he started to elaborate on societal aspect of Islam. And he, you know, expanded on this idea that Islam is not only personal religion, rather it is political, societal religion. And the political,
it has got different dimensions.
Yeah, and political and societal, this dimension of Islam is maybe to some extent more than the personal aspect of that.
Exactly.
If you go to the book of Bilayat al-Faqih or Kitab al-Bay or Kitab al-Darar or many other books of Imam Khomeini, you can find it very interesting how Imam Khomeini, and of course not only him, of course many other scholars beside him, of course I do not want to mention their name.
Yes.
They expanded on this issue that Islam is not only personal religion, rather it has some political and public, or societal aspect attached to that. And very interestingly, Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, he said that even your personal prayer, it is not, even your individual prayer, it is not personal.
Exactly. We have it in our du'as. We could see that. It is not personal. You're not just praying for your own self. You pray for the society. You pray for other people of your nation.
Exactly.
Or of the world.
Even, for example, your, namaz or salat. Okay?
Exactly.
It is individual. Maybe you, done it. It is allowed to do it in your house, okay, in your home. But it has some societal aspect attached to that. First of all, your prayer, it is very much recommended to be, in congregation. Okay? And of course, أقيم الصلاة, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse of Noble Quran. Of course, I do not want to go to
Yes, just in order not to get deviated from the main point that we were talking about. We were talking about hijab and why the European countries are putting the pressure and the stress much more stronger on people who are practicing hijab.
The point that I want to make it here, and of course I mentioned so far as an introduction, when you want to manifest societal aspect of Islamic laws, in that time it caused some problem for people and they cannot understand
that's
it.
That's the point, yes.
It is a point, I want to say that when you have your individual prayer, maybe, or for example, you have your fasting. Nobody has any disagreement with that. But once you want to start indicate it to the society and to show your,
you show your side.
Yes, your societal aspect of your religion. In that case, unfortunately, many people maybe they cannot stand it.
Exactly, it becomes a problem.
Yes.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
As just we talked about hijab and we said that in many countries, women have been banned from having hijab. And even if there is no law for that, you could see that when people are looking at you, it's as if they've seen something very strange and they give you the impression that you're not welcome to that society or to that, I don't know, you go to library, you go to store, to wherever. Just as you are practicing hijab, it feels like you're a stranger. That's the point that I was mentioning. It's not about law. They are making a propaganda against that. And it seems that it has started to make some problems for them.
We have, of course, in any country that you may visit, you can find some people.
Yes.
They are looking in a weird way. You can find. But on the other hand, many people are welcoming.
Yes,
because it is my choice.
Everything has changed, of course, and the world is changing.
Yes,
it's very
of course they understand. Understand that, for example, in any other country, you have some Buddhist, you have Christian, you have Jewish people, and of course you have Muslim.
Exactly.
And I want to have this is my religion, and I want to keep it, and this is my identity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that
people of different country usually don't have problem. It's the government who are making the problem. People usually have this understanding with each other, with different religion, with different nationalities, they do not have these sort of problems with each other, as we could see in different societies.
Of course.
It's the government who imposed those disputes and struggles in between people.
You know that talking about the government, maybe, as I mentioned, it is a societal aspect of your religion. And what is an indication of that? Your hijab, maybe it is an indication for your disagreement with injustice.
Exactly.
Because you are the representative of the story of Karbala, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to show that I'm following Lady Zainab. I disagree with, the, you know, some injustice. I disagree with, you know, tyranny and many other oppression around the world.
Exactly.
And because of that, maybe some, you know, governments, they are, you know, they still have some fight and disagreement with the concept of hijab. But, you know, I cannot come to a clear understanding that why these guys, they have some disagreement or fighting this, you know, childish disagreement and, you know, fighting with the concept of hijab. You know, I cannot have the clear understanding that even if, you know, because if this is my personal choice, I want to have it.
It's my body, and I have chosen this style of living for my body.
You know, beside many other religion that we have, this is my religion, and this is my identity.
Exactly.
I want to have it. It is not,
no matter how much pressure you're going
your
to
concern.
Push on me.
It is not none of your business, mm-hmm. okay? Why you have some disagreement with the, you know, the concept of hijab or many other concepts. But I mentioned that, you know, maybe these are some of the maybe philosophy or excuses that some people, they have some fight with the concept of hijab. I want to say that, you know, maybe we cannot say that this is my... I want to say whatever choice that you have, it must to have some kind of rational supporting
mm-hmm.
or rational backing.
Yes.
The concept of hijab that I have, it has a strong rational backing. Okay.
Exactly.
Because I want to have immunity from the ill, you know, people. Those people who have some ill looking at me, I do not want
from
to be...
From sick hearts.
Yeah, for the sick heart as a... The verses of Noble Quran mentioned, I want to be servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want people to look at my personality, okay? Not
yes.
to look at my beauty. I want to have my beauty within
and
my
and not to have a physical
yeah.
look at you.
I do not want people to misuse me,
exactly.
to misuse my, you know, beauties. These are very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, palpable reasoning behind the concept of hijab. And many people, they understand that. On the other hand, when you do not, you know, have the concept of hijab, many people, unfortunately, many entrepreneurs, they unfortunately, they misuse you for the cheap paying.
They enslave you, yes. That's
yeah,
they
have the, you know, this modern slavery.
Exactly.
And because of that, maybe some people, they have some disagreement with the concept of a hijab. But after all, I, you know, invite these people to have some dialogue. You know, this mm-hmm. is maybe the best way to come to a clear solution, to have our dialogue.
Exactly.
Come to their, you know, we can have, you know, via some social media, we can easily talk to each other.
It's a modern age. We could have some logical discussions.
Why you do not talk to each other? Why you do not have dialogue?
And without knowledge, they start judging. And
why
that's not
do
true.
You want to, I'm, you know, I addressing this politician, why you want to impose your own culture and your own foolish understanding to the people,
exactly.
to the mind of people.
So thank you. We're running out of time. Thank you for your nice discussion. And thank you, dear audience, for listening. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسن حسيني وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do, and there you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity. A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass-bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular. The engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. With soaring fuel prices, the importance of solar-powered vehicles is on the rise. Now a Kashmiri math teacher has gone viral for creating a car powered by solar energy. The car, which is fully covered with solar panels, uses sunlight to charge its battery. The vehicle also has a braking system that regenerates power to its batteries. The inventor of the car, Bilal Ahmed, says he has spent about $19,000 for his project and has not used external funds.
It was my dream to invent a solar car for the people of Kashmir. It took me 13 years to complete my dream. I'm thankful to the Almighty I succeeded in this project.
Bilal says he has built the car manually and without any automation. He hopes to put his fully automatic car into mass production to create jobs for local people.
just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up the Pushpa Tree and Plant Hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans bleed, breathe, and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe, and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail. Deep poisoning of the trees. Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge. Staff at the National Zoo of Cuba in the capital city of Havana are celebrating a new arrival of a rare baby white rhinoceros. The little calf, named Al, quickly became popular among other animals in the park after he was born. He is part of a conservation program that will add to a gene bank for future breeding. Al is the second white rhinoceros to be born in captivity in 18 years. The park is home to 8 white rhinos and 4 black ones. Zoo staff say the park has one of the largest exhibits of this mammal among zoos in Latin America. White rhinos are endangered species and their population has dwindled due to illegal poaching and environmental destruction.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in Southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is a 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal
belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Yusuf Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems, but think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically tagged to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Barami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Barami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset, just tagged the giant, 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong. Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290 million old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny, said, "May Allah's mercy not be upon the parents who, with their words or their actions, do not upbring a child correctly." So, parents do have a role in upbringing the child. And in this program, we come up with all the important things parents need to know about Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, who is a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University, who heads an Islamic institute in Qom and teaches Islamic studies. We have had this pleasure to invite Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much.
So when we talk about upbringing, what does it mean to upbring a child? Does it mean to educate your child, or does upbringing have some difference with education?
Yes, thank you very much for your question. It's an honor to be on your program. I begin this small talk of mine in the name of Allah, the Supreme Absolute Being. Yes, when we talk about upbringing, actually, we are talking about education. We are talking about educating our children. Bringing them up is to bring about change in their behavior.
Okay.
And upbringing is also trying to bring about a change in one's behavior. Therefore, we consider upbringing to be a facet of education. Of course, education is formal education and informal education. When we talk about education, we even have non-formal types of education. We're not talking about formal education that is imparted or given in the schools, colleges, or universities. We're talking about informal education. And one of the most important aspects of informal education is the upbringing of children.
Okay.
And of course, it does not only start after the child is born, it starts even when the child is in the womb of the mother.
Okay.
And even goes back to the time when man and woman came together as husband and wife.
Okay.
It even starts from that time.
All right.
As has been quoted from the great Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore, we have to consider it to be a holistic aspect of our lives. We have to consider it in a wholesome way. We have to take care of and then understand all the various elements that are involved in education. We can't be looking for quick solutions as parents. We are dealing with children. We are dealing with precious things as All precious right. gifts of Allah Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Every human being is a trust given to us by our Lord Allah Almighty.
Yes.
He has created every human being, as I said, in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
He is the manifestation. A child is the manifestation, and every human being is the manifestation of the attributes of Allah Almighty, the manifestation of Allah's will, power, and knowledge. Therefore, it is a very precious thing. It's a very, it's something which has to be dealt with very carefully.
All right.
And in Islam, as you know, when we talk about becoming Islamic, when we want to become religious, it's not just being religious in the sense that we carry out devotional practices and pray before our Lord. That is one aspect of Islam.
Okay.
Islam
so
talks about...
So what are the other aspects that are related to upbringing? I'll talk to you on that note after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're talking about Islamic upbringing with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Salman Naqvi. Yes, brother, you said that Islamic upbringing is one of the duties of parents by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because a child provided to them from Allah is just not a simple human being, but a trust, an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are different aspects of upbringing, yes.
So, yes, as I was saying, that upbringing is actually education.
Okay.
And so to become a good educator, we have to educate ourselves to become good educators and trainers and parents in different roles.
Yeah.
If we go into the professional realm of our lives, we have to prepare ourselves for becoming good professionals. We have to prepare, train ourselves, educate ourselves to play a role as a professional in society. But the most important role in society may be of parents,
yeah,
who are going to bring up children. So yeah, we need to educate ourselves in how to bring up children. And to educate ourselves, we have to understand the human being. We have to understand the various aspects and dimensions of human behavior. We have to learn what it means to be an educationist, what it means to be an educator, what it means to be a trainer.
Okay.
So we need to understand the concept of education and its elements and its domains and its aspects.
Yeah.
So, for example, when we want to pray to our Lord, Allah Almighty says in the books that have been written by our great scholars, they say that if you want to carry out any practice, you have to know its rules,
yeah,
before you carry out that practice.
Yeah.
So praying before our Lord, offering five times prayers, has its own rules.
All right.
And dealing with children
has
its own rules.
All right.
It has its own skills.
Yes.
The skill set, the knowledge skill set that is required for praying is different from the knowledge and skill set that is required for becoming a good parent.
Yeah.
So we have to, in the first place, acquire that skill set. We can't just enter a married life without having that skill set.
All right. So you're trying to say that if we are very good devotional Muslims, but at the same time, that does not mean being a good devotional Muslim will make you a good parent. For being a good parent, you need to be a good educator. You need to have education yourself, and you need to be a good trainer. And for all that, you need to know the elements of education. Exactly. I'll talk to you on that note after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Brother Naqvi, you said that there are different elements of education. I would want to know from you, what are those elements?
When we talk about education and bringing up children especially, and basically we're talking about bringing about a change.
Yeah.
Change in behavior. In Islam, the change in behavior, the behavioral change or the behavior that is expected, or the performance goals that are expected, the competencies which are required for a human being, based on faith, the important thing is faith has to be there.
All
but
right.
The faith has to translate into actions,
yeah,
with the help of taqwa. Faith changes into practices, good deeds, through the element of taqwa.
Piety.
And the behavioral change is any change means and implies has at least six factors, six elements. You have the person who is being changed.
Okay.
The person who is moving from one place to the other.
Okay.
There's a beginning time, point, starting point.
Okay.
There's an end point, the destination where we want to reach.
Okay.
And then we have the person who is bringing about the change, the educator.
Okay.
And then we have the pathway, the path that has to be traversed from the beginning to the end.
All right.
And then we have the categories in our human psyche, or the psychology of the human being inside us, the covert, hidden things which are there in the form of our thoughts and feelings, which have to change.
Yeah.
Our understanding, our knowledge has to change.
Yes.
Our feelings and emotions have to change. Our skills, the psychomotor skills that are required for any type of behavior, have to change. So that are those three, the knowledge, the skills, the attitude, which is hidden beneath the skin of our bodies and in our mental capacities, they have to change.
Mm-hmm.
So that behavior that is seen apparently, for example, if you take the example of an iceberg, and you always know the Titanic crashed or sank because it hit a big iceberg. Because they just saw the upper part, which was above the surface of the ocean. That is a small part. Maybe 20-30% of the iceberg is above.
Yeah.
70-80% of the iceberg is beneath. And they didn't see that. And the Titanic struck that and sank.
Yeah.
So the thing which is apparent is the behavior which comes up through our physical body that we have.
Okay.
When we, for example, pray to Allah Almighty in our devotional worship, apparently we see the movements of the prayer.
Yeah.
The standing up and praying, the prostration, the bowing down, everything is apparent. But beneath the surface are the thoughts and the feelings, the emotions, and also the psychomotor skills, which are employed when we need to bow down, when we need to go in prostration, in sajda.
Yeah.
So this underneath the skin, below the surface, changes have to take place.
Yeah.
And that are very important. If we want our children to be, to respect their parents, to listen to their parents, not to waste their time, not to go off for things which are not, for example, good for them, for their physical health, for their mental health. They want to protect themselves. They want to protect others from the children. Whatever. If we want good behavior from children, we need to change what is beneath the surface.
Yes.
And that transformation is the learning that has to take place.
Yeah.
And that learning that has to be imparted by the guides, by the parents.
Yeah. Thank you so much, brother, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Inshallah, we'll talk with you in another session on talk more about Islamic upbringing. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media by just searching Call of Islam Radio. And you can listen back to our programs on our website, that's parstoday.com. And in parstoday.com, you will find a tab with the name Call of Islam, wherein you can find programs of Islamic upbringing. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
Hazrat Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, on the very day that people swore allegiance to him, allegiance to the successor of the Messenger of Allah, he took his hoe and shovel and went to a place where he was working. He himself would work and the palm of his hands had callus formed on them. The position of the governors that governed the lands in those times vis-a-vis the people was not one of the governor and subject. The condition was that of service, that the governors were servants of the people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, and we're going to talk about his viewpoints about Quran. In one of his speeches, he said that it is only proper that we offer sacrifices for the Holy Quran, which has right over us and the entire humanity. What we can see in the Quran, we can see that obviously Quran is the book of guidance. Quran is the book that has come to take us towards the perfection. And these are the wordings of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who do not follow Quran, obviously the Prophet will complain about them. As in chapter Furqan, verse number 30, Allah said, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. Oh, the Prophet, the messenger will say that, oh my Lord, certainly, qawmi, my people, they have left this Qur'an. My people has took this Qur'an as a forsaken thing, because this Qur'an is the book of guidance. This is not a book for which we can take it as a forsaken thing. This is something to practice. It gives us the practical way of living, the principles that will take us towards the perfection. Therefore, it is necessary that we offer our sacrifices for the Quran.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi.
We must sacrifice our time, we must spend time, we must spend our money, our time, our lives for the sake of Quran, for the sake of following the footsteps of the Quran, which is the actual thing for us, because the book of guidance for us is the Quran. There is nothing else. We human beings who are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent the prophets for us for the guidance, He also sent a book as a guidance for us. And this book, which will remain till the day of judgment as the book of guidance, is the Quran. Therefore, our sacrifices should be for the Holy Quran, should be in accordance, in line with the teachings of the Quran, wherein Quran Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Don't think that those who give their lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are dead. They are the living beings. They are living and they're having their sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they know better than you. This is what Quran talks about, because Quran is the book of reality. And the things that are in the Quran are all reality and all the wordings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card or an electronic QSL card from us. So here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Najmuddin from Bangladesh, Francis Lawlor from Ireland, and Federico Correa from Italy. So, Najmuddin, Francis, and Federico, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And dear listeners, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Here we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Robbins Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. Najmuddin, who has sent us a reception report this time, has sent us an email from India, of course. Wu Xianan from China has sent us a message, an email. And from the Netherlands, one of our regular listeners, Rob Den Boer, has sent us an email. Stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with these emails. So, here we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners called Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India. Let's see what Siddhartha says. Here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, calendar 2022, sticker, stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to represent your radio here in India. Be safe and fight against coronavirus. Hope all of your staff are safe. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Siddhartha Bhattacharjee from India. And many thanks for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification confirmation to you. And regarding your request, Siddhartha, about sending you program schedule or calendar or sticker stamps, generally, the promotional items of IRIB English Radio, you know, at the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners is not possible. Maybe after the pandemic is erased from around the world, we can send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And regarding your wish about being safe against coronavirus, let me tell you good news. It's for some days that, actually for a month, that the rate of coronavirus death across Iran has become zero, and Iran does not have any victim from coronavirus anymore. And I can tell you for sure that the mortality rate of coronavirus in Iran has become zero, and there are just a few cases of this virus in Iran because almost all of Iranians have been vaccinated against this virus, and we are so happy that Iranian fellow people thank God, are safe and immune against coronavirus. Thank you for your wish. And here, I wish that all our listeners and all people around the world be safe against this virus, including in your country, India, and, around the world. So we wish you all the best, Siddhartha Bhattacharjee. Please accept our electronic QSL card for the time being. And Robens Fras Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. Let's see what Robens says. Of course, Robens is one of our regular listeners. He says, "Dear friends, I have had the pleasure of listening to your station during its transmissions a few days ago in English. I'm living in Bandeirantes, Brazil. I am an agronomist and I have, I am 52 years old. I will be grateful if you send me a QSL verifying this reception report. That's to say, you please send me a letter or a card where you include a specification that I have really heard your station, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Robens Faraz Pedroso from Brazil. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Of course, we will send you an electronic QSL card as a verification for the email you sent to us.